You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
Josh Nelson is here. We're going to talk film soon. Hi there, Josh.
Good afternoon.
I do want to talk about The Drop, the James Gandolfini, his final role, and we'll also talk about Monster Fest. Interested in your New York films, by the way. This one is a Brooklyn crime film. The reason being, The Drop stars Tom Hardy, who we spoke about a few months ago, Locke, which was great. The one actor shot him driving in the car. James Gandolfini in his final role, the man made famous by The Sopranos. Josh, we've got the trailer. Talk us into the trailer. What's it about?
So the basic gist of this film, it's a crime thriller. It's set in Brooklyn. We have James Gandolfini, who's Marv, cousin Marv, who owns a bar. Well, he used to own the bar. Now he manages it. It's now owned by the Chechen Mafia.
Of course it is.
Which comes into play later. And Tom Hardy is his nephew, works behind the bar. He's sort of the nice guy. He's a very quietly spoken guy. But we get a sense he has a bit of a dark past. Anyway, the bar is hit up by a couple of robbers. And, of course, because it's Chechen money, you know, there's going to be payback.
Yeah.
But the key catch here and what really brings the film together is this idea of a drop bar, which is a crime syndicate where on any one night, any bar in New York can be the locus for all of the dirty money. So the drop is one bar.
Oh, it's where they drop all the dirty money and clean it.
Yeah, and you never know until the night. So this bar then becomes a possible drop bar, and will it get hit again, and who's behind the original hit? It becomes the kind of key question of the film.
Okay, let's have a listen to the trailer.
In Brooklyn, money changes hands all night long. And it's not the kind of money that you can deposit in a bank.
You hand over the drop.
But all that money needs to end up somewhere. They call it a drop bar. You just hide the entire city's dirty money right in plain sight.
All your money in the bag.
Do you know what you're doing? Do you know whose money you're jacking?
Fill the bag!
You don't see anything?
Nah. You know, that's this neighborhood, right?
There you go. That's the trailer for The Drop. Josh, what's it like?
It's really good.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's really good. It's slick, polished, noirish. It has quite a familiar feel. I mean, you know, the Brooklyn crime bar, the kind of street dwellers, the people living on the edge.
Do these people actually still exist in Brooklyn?
Well, this is one thing that actually is interesting about the way in which The Drop plays out, because it suggests that old world, that world ruled previously by Italian and Irish immigrants.
Hipsters pushing around?
Well, yeah, it's being gentrified, but in this case, the gentrification is the Chechen mafia,
which
I think is like code for Russian mafia.
Yeah.
I think the Cold War enemy is coming back into fashion in American cinema at the moment. But yeah, it suggests that the old neighborhood, you know, that we see in the early Scorsese films, if you want to talk about New York-based films like Mean Streets, there's change undergoing. And Tom Hardy's character is interesting, and he really represents a kind of Scorsesean hero, in the sense that he goes to church. We see him go to church all the time, but he never takes communion. And that's one of the ways in which the film plays on this idea. There's something that he's dealing with, the sins of the past, which he has to kind of confront. Again, being James Gandolfini's last film, he's so good here. And it feels a little bit like, remember John Wayne's last film was The Shootist, where he was a gunfighter or a sheriff dying of cancer.
Right.
And again, it has that sort of sense of
oh my God, this is the last
yeah,
I've seen.
Fatalism in yeah. terms of this being his final role. But look, it really remarkable cast. I mean, it's such a sort of slick film. So Tom Hardy and Gandolfini are out in front, but Noomi Rapace is in there, the original girl with the dragon tattoo, and she and Hardy's character form the kind of central, potentially romantic relationship within the film. But it also has a Belgian actor, Matthias Schoenherz, who was in Rust and Bone with Marion Cotillard a couple of years ago. And he's really good, and he represents the proverbial spanner in the works in terms of maybe something from Tom Hardy's violent past coming back to haunt him. And the film was directed, again, a Belgian director, Michael Roskam, who directed a remarkable film back in 2011 called Bullhead, which starred Matthias Schoenherz in that as this hulking kind of man. I mean, the film was about that film, was a sort of noirish film set in Belgium dealing with illegal hormone trade. And the lead character was this guy who, he was hobbled, let's just put it that way, and overdosing on steroids. So he was in a sense like a Tom Hardy character, like Bronson or Bane from the Dark Knight films. So in this film, it's kind of funny that you have them opposite each other. But, you know, this is a dark film. The symbolism isn't entirely subtle. Like, Tom Hardy gets a dog and it's a pit bull. And then there's all these talks about, you know, it's not his fault that he was bred that way.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
But
look, it's good.
It was really good. And I mean, even though you can...
Because it sounds a little cliche.
It feels familiar, but there's enough stylistic touches and enough impressive scripting in this film for the film to really work. It was adapted from a Dennis Lehane short story, which he adapted into a novelization. So he sort of it's come full circle in a sense. But I think one of Lehane's strength is that sense of dialogue. He gets this film has a really strong ear of Brooklyn.
He wrote scripts for The Wire as well, didn't he?
Yeah, I mean Mystic River, the Clint Eastwood film, yeah. Gone Baby Gone,
Shutter
Island.
He's actually very good with dialogue,
and that comes through in this film. But there's some really nice details that are specific to New York as well. Like we often see Gandolfini wearing a New York Jets outfit. And his bar is a New York Giants bar. So when they have the Super Bowl in the bar, everyone else is wearing Giants. And again, it's just a small touch which tells you that he's out of place. He no longer belongs in this bar in his own neighborhood. And again, it's not something that the film makes a point of. It's just kind of there in the background in the style of this film. So yeah, I think this is a really impressive work.
And it's on pretty wide release, isn't it?
No, sadly, it's again...
I saw lots of advertising for it, no?
Only two or three cinemas, I think, in Melbourne. Again, sadly, I'm not quite sure when you've got a stellar cast... When you've got James Gandolfini.
No superheroes can't get a wide release.
It seems to be. I thought Gandolfini's last film should be a selling point in its own right. But,
interesting.
And it's strange that it is the final film.
What do you know about the movie business?
What do I know? Nothing. Exactly. Did you see that film that he did, came out last year, Enough Said, the romance comedy with Julie Louis-Dreyfus?
Oh, that was wonderful. He was fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, that actually barely got on a screen, did it?
So again.
You know, look, I watched that at home. I bought that one at home, so. So that didn't even get a cinema release.
It got a very limited cinema release again.
That was fantastic.
You know, again, and I think, you know, that showed to me Gandolfini's range. He wasn't just,
not Soprano. Just Okay, that is Tom Hardy, James Gandolfini, The Drop. Lots of New York moments in there. Have you got here's a bit of a restrictive question for you. Name just one, your favourite New York film, Josh Nelson.
A Taxi Driver. Oh. I mention it all the time. Yeah, it's my default film, really.
Sure.
But for me, it's the ultimate.
You're not going to say New Jack City?
Oh, New Jack City.
Come on. With Wesley Snipes, no?
Yes, indeed.
New Jack City. And what was the...
The rapper in that? Was that Ice-T, Ice Cube?
Ice Cube was in that. And then there's American Gangster. Wasn't that...
Russell Crowe, Denzel Washington?
Yes, and that's New York, isn't it? Yeah. Is it Russell Crowe?
I think so. Yeah,
it's Denzel.
Yeah, it's the Ridley Scott film, isn't
it? Yeah, that was quite good.
Yeah.
I mean, from a New York point of view, it actually didn't work as a film, but it made New York look good. I have not been to New York, but everyone tells me when you go, it feels like you're in all of the TVs and films that you've seen.
Do you have the desire to go to New York? Is it burning inside you like it was for me?
No.
Oh, no. Ghostbusters, New York.
I'm not sure the Ghostbusters... Fills me with a desire to go and see. Are they really remaking that with three women? Is that the plan? It's actually a terrible thing to say that the use of three women seems like a pathetic act of desperation because they actually know that it's a really poor idea.
Like maybe it's trying to avoid comparisons with the original three.
Waste of time.
Yep.
Look, we asked this question on Facebook as well, by the way. John Anthony saying, Gotham, sort of based on New York at its worst. Yes, the TV show, great. And Carla, Die Hard with a Vengeance. Yes. Is the first one set in New York?
No, it's the Nakatomi Plaza in L.A. He's a New York cop on the wrong side of the country.
So Die Hard with a Vengeance is the second one?
That's the third one. Die Hard 2 is in the wrong place at the wrong time again.
I mean, Die Hard's good. Kramer versus Kramer from Tom and Pascoville.
Oh, yeah.
Shattering. Still weep at that one. Absolutely shattering. And still the scene where he's making the French toast and he's getting the eggshell in there. He says, and the son says, you've got the eggshell in there. And Dustin Hoffman's like, but you like your French toast crunchy, don't you? I just love that line. Absolutely love it. Although Tom is admitting that he's secretly Sex and the City is his New York thing. That's his secret shame. No, you shouldn't be a secret shame at all. Someone else, Manhattan, Raph. I think that's set in New York. Manhattan. Come on. Great. And Basketball Diaries, a great New York film. Is that Brendan Gleeson?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, both of them?
Oh, he might be in that as well, yeah.
I think they have
early
in that,
Brendan Gleeson, maybe.
Have to look that one up on the phone. I tell you what, we'll get to Monster Fest in a moment. We'd love to hear your New York-based film. Any film that's got, you know, it's got to be good in your eyes, and it's got to have something to do with New York. 1300-222-774 is the phone number. 0437-774-774 is the text. Gangs of New York as well. And Razorback 2, Pig Hunt in Manhattan. which I'll take as our new addition to the Bad Boy Barbie genre of additions on this segment. Razorback 2, Pig Hunt in Manhattan. I missed that sequel. Josh, what's Monsterfest?
Monsterfest is a cult and horror festival which I think opened technically last night. The big opening night is tonight and it goes through until the 30th of November. I've managed to catch a couple of the films.
Oh, you just managed to squeeze them into your regular schedule?
I did.
Not
indeed.
A high priority or anything.
You know, I'm a fan of cult and horror, yep. Hence the T-shirt. One of them actually is a documentary which I thought will have a fairly sort of broad range of interest. And it's about a director, Richard Stanley. I don't know if you can remember him. He's a guy who made a film called Hardware back in the early 90s, which starred a very young Dylan McDermott. And it was a sort of a post-apocalyptic man versus machine film. And it got this incredible cult status. And then he went on to make another one called Dust Devils. And then in the late 90s, he was given, very briefly, the chance to remake The Island of Dr. Moreau, which, if you can remember, starred Val Kilmer and Marlon Brando. And this is a documentary about the disaster the making of.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, it's called Lost Soul, The Doomed Journey of Richard Stanley's Island of Dr. Moreau.
Oh, I'd like to see that.
Oh, it's really good.
The film actually got made, didn't it? But they didn't finish filming or something and they edited it together. It was disastrous.
Yeah. And this documentary explores why the finished product is such a disaster. Because Richard Stanley, despite going through a quite lengthy pre-production process, this feels a little bit like Jodorowsky's Dune at the start of this film. It lasted a week. It was filmed in northern Queensland in a disastrous spot for filming, and it was the same old thing, sets getting destroyed, you know, the weather being, you know, horrible.
And two entirely sensible, balanced, calm actors.
Yeah, Val Kilmer, who'd just come off Batman Forever, so thought he was God's gift, and Marlon Brando, who was God's gift and was still telling people that, and decided to start rewriting the script himself and making costume changes. But this is one of these great sort of films which goes into this bizarre anecdotal stuff, a bit like Hearts of Darkness,
what I'm thinking.
Apocalypse Now film, and things like Brando recasting the film, turning up on set covered in white paint, saying, "This is how I'm going to perform every scene." But the biggest one was Richard Stanley. Poor Richard Stanley got bumped off the film in less than a week into shooting and was replaced by John Frankenheimer, who was pretty cantankerous back in the day when he took over, and then started turning the whole thing upside down because he only did it as a favour to the studio for massive money on a kind of a promise of a three-picture deal as well. So this film explores it. We've got interviews with...
Classic Hollywood catastrophe.
Yeah, so it works on the... I guess it's interesting from the point of watching a car crash of a film, but also, you know, how much Hollywood punishes young directors with creative ideas who don't conform to that sort of studio model instantly. And because Stanley was a kind of a visionary in terms of what he wanted to do with the H.G. Wells story, it didn't go down.
It's actually a great story.
It's fantastic. Mm. I mean, the storyboards and the images that they designed for the film that you see would have been such an interesting kind of contemporary sort of almost post-punk version of the film, with sort of mutation and dealing with, you know, sort of the almost shades of 1984 in there as well. And it didn't come off. I mean, if anyone's seen that version of The Island of Dr. Moreau, it's kind of disastrous. And Rob Morrow from Northern Exposure, famous, one of the people getting interviewed.
He talked briefly and talking
about phoning his agent after 2 days and saying, "Get me on the first boat, ship, plane out of here."
Is it a recent documentary or is it old?
Yeah, I think it's only within the last year
it's been made. Okay, and it's called Lost Soul.
That's it, yeah.
Oh, I'd really like to see that. That sounds fantastic. Look, we've got, I'll get to a few texts, but any other flicks to keep an eye on for Monsterfest that people might want to go and catch?
Well, I think another one I've seen, which is the opening film tonight, which I think there's still tickets for, is called The Editor. It's from a Canadian duo of filmmakers, and it's a sort of a half homage, half parodic reimagining of a Italian giallo film, you know, the horror film in the style of Suspiria and you know, the Dario Argento style of film, and it's really good. It's I don't know if it's got a massive budget, but geez, it looks really stylish, and it just captures all the kind of the generic tropes of Italian cinema, but with a sort of a tongue firmly in its cheek in terms of things like the gender politics, the sexual politics, the sporadic uses of gore. And it's about an editor, a crippled editor who's missing one hand, who's trying to cut together a film, and people on the set start dying and the fingers, you know, start getting pointed back at him.
Right.
So it raises questions about it's the whodunit sort of factor and is the lines between the film that he's cutting together and real life starting to merge.
It sounds entirely bizarre.
Oh, and it's very fun. In fact, one of the composers is Claudio Simonetti, who from Goblins, the famous band who did the score for things like Suspiria. Okay. So it really nails that stylistic touch.
And where is Monsterfest on?
It's split between, I think most of the events are split between Cinema Nova in Carlton and Yaya's in the city.
Yeah, okay.
And there's a number of other events as well. I think Lloyd Kaufman of Troma fame is out here doing masterclasses at the moment.
Really?
Yeah, so...
From Troma, one of those Troma films.
The one and only Lord Carlton.
Right. Oh, this is film geekdom.
Indeed.
This is film geek heaven, isn't it? Fantastic. I love it. So look, check out Monsterfest. I am intrigued by Lost Soul. I would love to see that. What is the film After Hours? Patricia Arquette and Griffin Dunne?
The horrible night
that he has, and he meets all the alternative crazy people in New York. That actually was quite good as well. Love it. Josh, thanks for coming in.
Pleasure.
Oh, that was a good film. Filmology.com is the place to go to check out Josh's musings. You can also tune in 7 o'clock Mondays, Triple R. Josh and his friends on the radio getting ever stranger in their discussions about film.